Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hose. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethose.com/terms.
A radio show host called Paul Gallant.
It's the Paul Gallant Show.
Pauly G Show. He's the best in Houston.
Houston's most interactive sports talk show.
Hey, how's it going, Paul?
Oh, what's good, my man?
How you doing, Paul?
What are you doing, Paul?
Join the conversation by dialing or texting 713-780-3776.
I love the show. Y'all keep it up.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios. Here's Paul Gallant.
In the air to left, Chaz, pretty close to where he was playing. Morrell's gonna tag. Here comes a throw by Chaz. Here comes Morrell trying to score. The Rays win it 3-2 on the sack fly by Taylor Walls. A two-strike pitch at the top of the zone, not called a strike. And with the next pitch, Taylor Walls walks off the Houston Astros.
Well, no runs again last night from an Astros offense that's really been struggling to open up the 2025 campaign. I suppose if there's any development that we've got over the last couple of games where we can collectively direct our frustrations, it would be at the guy who caught that sacrifice fly, the guy who did not throw the most accurate or powerful throw home, the guy who was 1 for 4 with 3 strikeouts. Chaz McCormick seems to be the very convenient fall guy for the Houston Astros. So, is he the reason they lost? I don't think so. But it's very easy when the last thing you see is in a 9th inning where one, Chaz McCormick is the guy who catches a pretty shallow sack fly and is not able to make a good throw home. And a little bit earlier, to set the Tampa Bay Rays up with a runner on second and third and eventually get that game-winning run home, Chaz McCormick seemed to be wildly out of position for this double.
Poked into left field. Chaz McCormick was playing very deep. That'll be a runner going to third and Lowe into second base. The Astros were deep in the outfield for Lowe, and he just reached out and punched that one to left for a double. Lowe with the double to make it second and third with nobody out.
Yeah, Chaz is playing with his back almost on the warning track out there in left field. This ball hit off the end of the bat. Pretty good changeup, and he got the chase. The Lau gets enough of it just to slap it the other way. Chaz not even in your picture yet. To make it tough on the defense and on Caleb Ord.
That's about as far as the home broadcast is going to go when it comes to criticizing one of the hometown nine. I mean, Jeff Blum kept going and going and going right there. And is that the reason that the Rays had an easier opportunity to score the game-winning run? Probably. But Chaz McCormick, who's barely playing, who was picked off, what, 2 times on Monday night, is also in this series not playing the best defense. So if we're looking for a scapegoat right now, as we're all a little bit annoyed with the Astros' slow start, Chaz McCormick just plopped himself right in our lap with last night, because he was out of position a couple of times defensively, not making good throws defensively, and also striking out again. It's not fun. So if we do bring back that segment we used to do with Joe when we were Gallant and George here from noon to three. Fall guy. McCormick's the very easy one at this moment in time. The sad reality, though, is that this is not Chaz McCormick's fault, as easy as it is to blame him for last night's loss. The more outings that you see where this offense just can't put runs across the plate, you're going to waste starts. Brian Walter gave you a pretty good outing. I mean, five innings, a scoreless ball, were you expecting that from him? No. And an offense that is continuously relying on Isak Paredes, who did get a home run, and Jose Altuve, who actually had two hits for a change, and Jake Myers, who had two hits, and Victor Caratini, who had two hits. I mean, if you're relying on that to give you three runs, four runs, five runs, sadly, you're probably just as often as you get to three or four going to be beneath that number. The Astros last night were 1-for-7 with runners in scoring position. They left 8 on base. Rough night for Jeremy Pena, but the usual suspects also struggling. It's Chaz McCormick, who I mentioned again, 1-for-4, 3 strikeouts. Christian Walker, that streak of games without a strikeout. Oh, it's over. It's over. He was 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts last night. Zach DeCenzo, he's a rookie. I'm not going to get too mad about it, but 0-for-4 with 3 strikeouts. The Astros offense is just not scoring. Astros manager Joe Spada had this to say about the struggling offense after the game.
We're never gonna score.
All right, that's it, Nuts. Wow, got a little testy in the Astros clubhouse there. But I kid. Joe Spada didn't really have much to say about the Astros offense afterwards. But Jose Altuve, he actually did have some interesting things to say about what's going on with the Astros offense.
We're never gonna score.
I'm kidding, guys. Obviously, I'm kidding. But, okay. Yeah. Didn't hear much from Jose Altuve after the game. Didn't hear much from Joe Spada after the game on the offense. But luckily, this guy's the new leader of the Astros. This is what Jeremy Pena had to say about the struggles for the Astros on offense.
That's not Jeremy Pena.
That's a scene from Beavis and Butthead. But listen, we did actually hear from the Astros leader last night. You know, we're not talking Joe Spada, we're not talking Jose Altuve, we're not talking Yordan Alvarez, because he's not playing right now. We're not talking Jeremy Pena. You know, Christian Walker, who's really been having a tough time at the plate, I thought he gave some really thoughtful and interesting thoughts on the Astros offense and things that they could do to get better.
We're never going to score.
Okay, this bit's played itself out, but you get what this is where we're all at. Like, they just don't feel like they're ever going to score. That's how I feel. And I think every single game where the Astros struggle, we're going to play that. And hopefully, Sean, we can annoy them into putting some runs across the plate. You think that'll work?
Yeah, I think so. I think eventually they'll be like, you know what?
We're sick of this a-hole.
I don't want to be called Beavis and Butthead. I don't keep getting called Beavis and Butthead. I'm Christian Walker, damn it.
Yeah.
I'm, what, like a 3-time All-Star? 2-time All-Star?
He's a sub-200 hitter.
Oh.
That's what he is right now. I mean, listen, I'm a baseball casual, but to me, Christian Walker didn't exist before he joined the Astros. I know he was on the Diamondbacks and he played in the World Series, but to me, he didn't exist. So this is what Christian Walker is right now. You know, I don't look at the back of the baseball card anymore. I've gotten away from that.
No.
Jeff Bagwell has scared us away from that forever. Christian Walker did not start existing until he became an Astro. And as an Astro, he strikes out a lot. There's a lot of season left. But do we think this is going to get better for him in particular? I don't.
I've stopped. We've talked about the strikeoutless streak that he had before last night. We talked about early in the season where it felt like he was getting some bad luck, where he was hitting the ball hard. He was just hitting it straight to defenders. Where it seemed like he was due for, you know, some good luck to break his side and him to bust out of the slump. Dude, I'm not going to defend him anymore. I'm not going to like, look at the underlying stuff. Like, look deeper. Until this guy actually starts putting together some multi-hit games, like you said. He's kind of a 200 hitter. I'm not going to keep holding out hope that, the rubber band is going to snap back. It's just, nope. He's just kind of this guy until he isn't.
Why is he hitting cleanup?
Well, he's hitting fifth today.
Oh, good.
But he's still ahead of Jake Myers, who has a OPS that's 200 points higher.
Screw it. Put Jake Myers to cleanup. I mean, Myers is hitting well. Caratini's hitting well.
Yeah.
Paredes is hitting well. He's your number two guy. Pena had been hitting pretty well. He had a three-hit game on Monday. It was nice to see Altuve wake up, but hey, let's move the guys who aren't hitting out of the top of the lineup.
Yeah, we can be a little bit more reactive, especially with the guys, like you said, the guys that are not hitting at all.
I mean, if there's any perks to Dusty Baker not being here anymore, it's that you don't have to respect a veteran for the sake of respecting a veteran. And I mean, we just did this with Abreu. We should all be a little quicker on the trigger finger. Once you've experienced somebody who hasn't been good for a while and you were waiting and waiting for that athlete to get good and they never were, do not feel uncomfortable turning your guns on the guy quickly. You know, I felt we all gave Brock Osweiler way too much of a leash when he started with the Texans. I turned on him in early October. I was like, this is what it is. And I felt this way about him when he was in Denver. When it comes to Jose Abreu, we were very gracious. We were too gracious for a team that's won all these games. So that's where Walker is right now. Walker is the, I guess, if we're doing a power rankings of convenient people to blame right now, McCormick's one after last night. But for most of the games this year, Christian Walker's two. And remember when we were, celebrating hard contact by Christian Walker, for God's sakes? Like, how embarrassing was that? So this is where we are at with the Astros offense right now, Sean.
Yeah, the hard hit stuff. Again, when you're five games into the season, you can go, well, over the course of the next 10 games, it's going to figure itself out. Once you get into, we're almost game 50 now.
Yeah.
It becomes a little bit harder.
Much harder. That's Sean Behind the Glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, on YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. By the way, just when you feel like things cannot get worse for the Astros from an injury perspective, because it has been a rather frustrating beginning to the year, we got some dicey news earlier today. That, and you'll never guess who the Houston Rockets are the favorites to land this offseason. You really will never guess this one. I don't think any of you have ever heard of this guy, but he's important. You'll hear why next. Stay put.
You're listening to The Paul Gallant Show
on ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
Live from the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
Just an issue with King and then also the back two guys. Were they unavailable due to workload?
What do you think?
Yeah. Easy, Joe. Talking about last night's Astros loss to the Tampa Bay Rays. They lose 3-2. Got a pretty nice start. An unexpected pretty nice start out of Brian Walter, but the bullpen did not get to throw the high leverage guys in there, and ultimately the Astros fall despite having a 2-0 lead rather late. Bullpen's not going to shut the door every single night, something to remember. But also something to remember, hey, you don't want to tax this thing, which is the strength of your team, in May. At least the spotter didn't do that, but at the same time, hey, the losses add up. Hopefully the offense will get going for what it's worth this afternoon. The guys, the usual suspects for the Astros, are doing their thing. First off, Jeremy Pena hit by a pitch. Little things. Jeremy Pena just got beaten today. And then Isak Paredes hit a homer. Paredes has homered in five of his last nine games. So that's fun. But here's what's bad. And it feels like the Astros have just had brutal luck on the injury front to open the year. Or just brutal luck when it comes to this specific body part amongst its pitchers. Ronel Blanco reported elbow soreness 2 days ago. He flew back to Houston to be evaluated. He is seeing doctors today. Great. Great. The last guy we heard go and do that, Hayden Wesneski, out for the year. Tommy John surgery. Although he's on the 60-day IL for now, Sean.
Yeah. We can't watch the game right now, but can someone keep track of if Todd's callous lets it slip that that Rodel Blanco's out for the year?
Loose lips sink ships. Yeah, yeah.
Maybe it's not today's game. Probably not today's game because he probably hasn't gotten his MRI done or whatever he needs to get looked at. But this weekend or this next couple days, just keep an eye out. Keen ears when Todd Callis is talking about pitching.
Mm-hmm.
He might just break the news again.
He might pull a, as I used to call it, a DJ Swearinger, where he's just giving us information that was probably supposed to be kept confidential.
Todd Callis, DJ Swearinger,
yeah,
same guy.
For those who don't know, Texans safety DJ Swearinger, who was a second round pick. Was it a 2013, 2012 second round pick?
12 or 13.
Right around then.
Probably 13 with Clowney.
Clowney was 14. I think he was the year before Clowney.
They both played on South Carolina.
That's true. Yeah. They played together. They were boys at school. And DJ Swearinger often would just give us information that he probably should have kept a little closer to the vest. But we liked it. And he was also a fun quote. So anyway, the liberal media always tried to take the Texans down. Whatever, guys. We had a job to do. We're getting paid hourly to go into the Texans locker room. DJ Swearinger made it fun at the very least. BVB09 comments on YouTube. I hope they let Forrest Whitley start a game, but then again, he might be out 6 months after one start. I'm almost concerned to look at this game on TV, Sean, because I don't want to know that Hunter Brown's all of a sudden dealing with some elbow soreness. Is there wood in here?
No, I don't think there is.
Okay, well, maybe you got to...
Maybe
you
know. That back there? The
oh, yeah, the
table.
Gavel. Hang on. Got the gavel. That seems to be wood.
Yeah.
If not knock on wood. I was like, wait, am I going to have to, pop a...
All right.
Okay, I'm just saying.
Get one of the Red Max.
Yeah. A little we're Red
good.
Max.
We're good. No, Hunter Brown threw four pitches is doing all right.
That's good. Still long.
He just made his fifth pitch. It was a ball, but still.
Long way to go. A couple people are texting in. Paul, the first two times were funny with the Beavis and Butthead clip, but were the third and fourth times necessary? I would have gone 7 or 8.
I mean, we could have Isak Paredes through an interpreter. What does he have to say about the offense?
Listen, all I'm trying to say is, as annoyed as you are right there, I'm trying to remind you of the feeling you should feel. Because we do have alternative options. We do have alternative options. The Astros offense doesn't score. They're handsomely compensated for their services. Okay? You know, they're charging us $353 for an El Tiempo margarita now at the ballpark. And the lines are long at Daikin Park, and the offense isn't scoring. So, yeah, like we're just reminding you that your annoyance, to keep that same energy, because they deserve a little pressure right now. That is concerning the Rodel Blanco news. This is cool news, though. The Houston Rockets, 2 seed in the Western Conference. Southwestern Division champs, defending Southwestern Division champs. I know the Western Conference Finals are in progress with the Thunder up 1-0 and the Eastern Conference Finals tip off tonight. But don't forget about your Rockets being Southwest Division champions. And
doesn't matter, Paul.
Champions, baby.
Division champs.
And by the way, 12:45.
Didn't mean to interrupt.
No, sorry. No, you're good. You're good, Bill O'Brien. By the way, 12:45. Hell yeah, guys. Houston is going to stay a city that takes advantage of the division that it's in. But the Rockets are favored to land this key piece who theoretically could be the guy to push them over the top in terms of getting a guy who could push them over the top because they are favorites to win the Antetokounmpo sweepstakes. That's right, folks. The Rockets are plus 400 to land an Antetokounmpo. They're ahead of the Spurs at plus 600, ahead of the Nets at plus 800, ahead of the Warriors plus 900. That's right. The Rockets are favorites to land Thanasis Antetokounmpo, who is the brother of Giannis Antetokounmpo. We're really trying to annoy you today. This is the trolliest.
Can you tell it's the last day of the week for Paul and I?
Right. We're about to get out of here, the next couple. Listen. If you get Thanasis, you can get Giannis.
To me, that basically makes them favorites to get
Right.
To get Giannis.
And I think they are favorites to get Giannis.
It's like if a team out there was the favorite to get Bronny, you'd be like, well, chances are they're going to get LeBron.
Uh-huh. Right.
I feel good.
It could be different. Say the Rockets were the favorites to land LiAngelo Ball. Could mean they're trading for LaMelo Ball this offseason.
Exactly.
Because the Hornets just said everyone's on the table except for Brandon Miller. So LaMelo Ball? Big game hunting? I don't know. The big ball brand here in Houston? Doesn't seem like that's going to happen. But the Antetokounmpo family, the Antetokounmpo clan could be coming to town.
How many brothers would you be okay putting on the roster?
How many does he have?
I think he has three.
How many are good at playing basketball?
Other than Giannis?
I mean, hey, listen, Thanasis is an NBA player.
Yeah, Thanasis is all right.
Yeah, he's good enough to be in the NBA.
Has he played on a team his brother was on?
In the NBA.
Okay.
I didn't say play in the NBA. Okay? It's important.
I think there's three Antetokounmpo brothers.
Well, honestly, all three? That's not going to kill you. Just make them all inactive and send them to Rio Grande. Okay. Valley, whenever you need to, you know, once you're clamoring for extra depth.
Oh, I'm sorry. There's four.
You
have Thanasis, you have Costas, you have Alex, and you have Francis.
Alex has the lamest name, so he's out.
That's fair. Oh, Francis is also 36.
Francis is out. Never mind. How old's Alex?
Alex.
Upside?
It says he's the youngest.
He's the youngest. Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Honestly, we need to make sure that Giannis is. Unless Thanasis is older, like Giannis needs to be one of the older brothers that's there because you can't have the big brother go in big brother mode. Because big brothers from time to time, from what I'm told, they didn't have a big brother, but they can be a little pushy.
Thanasis is 32, Giannis is 30.
Okay, so Thanasis, the big brother, you can't have two big brothers. You can't have Giannis feeling like a little brother when he is the leader of the Houston Rockets by default upon joining. So there you go, guys. That's the latest when it comes to the Houston Rockets at big game hunting this offseason.
Thanasis
and Antetokounmpo. The Rockets are favorites to land him, which means that then they theoretically
would
be the favorites to get Giannis and Antetokounmpo. Hopefully just don't offer him a max contract.
Nah.
You got to prioritize who gets the maxes and who doesn't. Sean Mapes is behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show. You want to jump in the most interactive sports talk show in town. 713-780-3776 to call, to text, YouTube at ESPN Houston, on Twitch at ESPN 975. Up next, who's been soft in the world of sports? I can't believe the Titans keep finding ways to get back in the news for being very insecure about a city that they left. But they're back again. Paul Gallant Show, stay put.
Soft boys, in a tough sitch. Ime Udoka thinks you're a bitch.
In honor of the time that Ime Udoka said of LeBron James to his face in the midst of a Rockets-Lakers game a year and a half ago or so. Soft ass boy. Because LeBron was complaining about profanity being used in the game every single Wednesday at 12:30. We tell you who's been soft in the world of sports. Let's start off with this. This is from Kicking It with Kunkel, which is Will Kunkel of Fox 26's podcast. Apparently, there's only a few times where specifically, the University of Houston is allowed to wear their Houston Blue uniforms, which are another tribute to the Love You Blue days of the Houston Oilers. They're only allowed to do it at home versus an in-state opponent. I am assuming that this holds true for whatever other teams in town are using some variant of H-Town Blue. The Rockets, I don't think the Rockets have worn the H-Town Blue unis in a little bit.
Yeah, they did it the Christian Wood days,
right.
John Wall days.
And it feels like those Rockets right then would have gotten a cease and desist.
Rightfully
and
so.
Actually listened to the cease and desist. Also rightfully so. But it seems that there are rules for when you can wear this. I know Rice also had Houston Oilers themed nods. I think that Cougs basketball also has had Houston Oilers themed colors at certain moments of time. And I guess they're only allowed to wear it at home versus an in-state opponent. So that's from Kicking It with Will Kunkel. Very interesting to see that.
Yeah, that's
I mean, this idea that people are going to, I don't know, confuse Houston Cougars baseball with the Tennessee Titans, formerly the Houston Oilers, is quite honestly crap. I think it's entirely because, and I've said this a million times, the Tennessee Titans realize that the only piece of intellectual property that they own that's cool is the Houston Oilers uniforms, which, by the way, they're never wearing again from the sound of things. They are changing things up where the Titans blue alternative uniforms they have, and they're calling it now Titans blue, that's going to be their primary uniform color. Should have been already. Big miss by the Titans realizing, you know what, maybe we shouldn't be one of a quarter of the teams in the NFL wearing navy blue as our primary color because we look exactly like everybody else except for our uniforms are ass. So they're going away from the Oilers colors. They're trying to lock down this H-Town blue thing. But now no one's going to confuse the alternative uniforms of Houston collegiate teams with the Tennessee Titans. No one's going to do that.
Yeah, no. The whole thing is just silly. Because, like, Iowa's football uniforms.
It's the Steelers.
It looked just like the Steelers.
They've even said they looked at the Steelers and they said, yeah, let's do this. The Steelers don't care.
No, because the Steelers have other stuff that matters. There's other things that stop them from, that separate, hey, we're the Steelers.
Yes.
The Titans, they have the Music City Miracle.
That's pretty much it. And coming up 1 yard short in the end zone in a Super Bowl and being a one seed in the AFC playoffs and losing in their first game, not once, not twice, but three times, there's not a lot going on. It's a loser franchise, and the people that are still loyal to that team baffle me.
Yeah. And it's like, hey, remember when we were cool and also still kind of a loser franchise? But we're cool, damn it.
We had cool uniforms. Like, we blew a 35-3 lead against the Bills. We were cool.
Man, we looked good.
We looked so good. Uniform-wise, not the actual football itself. It's bizarre. And especially, I will point at the people that live here in Houston who are still Titans fans. I mean, a lot of them are that. Because Vince Young got drafted by the Titans, right? Which was apparently done against the wishes of Jeff Fisher entirely as an FU to, I believe, the mayor of Houston's wife. Not even kidding on that front, because she had said, like, oh, if we don't get Vince Young, I'm going to kill myself, like, in jest. So apparently that's why the Titans drafted Vince Young. By the way, they pulled the rug out from under Vince Young, Houston legend. Houston hero. Like, Vince Young has partly himself to blame for his failures in the NFL, but a lot of local Tennessee Titans fans, you were a Titans fan because of Vince Young. So they screwed that up. They always blow it. They've never been good, and they left you. And you still root for them? Weird. Anyway, Soft Boys continues. Speaking of those Pittsburgh Steelers, this is kind of soft. Art Rooney, owner of the Pittsburgh Steelers, is not thrilled that the Steelers have some late night games towards the end of the year. Serious thing. Said Art Rooney, we're not crazy about having night games late in the season. It happens, and it's not a big deal. But we would prefer not to have too many night games late in the season. What? You don't want to play in primetime? Listen, you're lucky to be playing in primetime at all, and given your quarterback situation, you're very likely to be flexed out of all of those games.
Yeah, yeah. They play Monday in week 15, December 15th.
Mm-hmm.
And then before that, they play on November 9th on a Sunday night. And then before that, they have two straight primetime games in mid October.
Okay.
This isn't that late.
No. They will be flexed out of the earliest game they can be flexed out of, too. I think this is going to be the first year where the Steelers are actually bad in a while. I don't think that the Rodgers situation is going to help the Steelers be better than they were this past year. I mean, obviously, they'd be somewhat competent, but, I mean, what were the Jets last year with Aaron Rodgers under center? With a great defense on the other side of things. Rodgers was healthy all of last year, for what it's worth. Who else has been soft in the world of sports? The Kansas City Chiefs are looking to play in a dome. So there's been some hullabaloo between the state of Kansas and the state of Missouri about a potential new Chiefs stadium and a potential new Royals stadium. For those who don't know, Kansas City is largely in Missouri, but it is on the border of Kansas and Missouri. So there is part of Kansas City that is in Kansas, and there is part of Kansas City that's in Missouri. So in this back and forth, this jockeying for, hey, who gets the next Chiefs stadium, they have proposed the idea of playing in a dome. I'm so tired of these teams looking at the future and saying, let's play inside. It is wrong. Football is an outdoor sport. Whether you're playing in the South and it's hot, or you're playing in the North and it's cold at the end of the year, you should be playing outdoors. I've always felt this way. The elements are what make football a different sport. You're supposed to play through it. Oh, I want to see the best possible football I can. I don't. I like to see men being men. Toxic masculinity lives on when football is played in inclement weather. Who else has been soft? This man is soft. I can't believe this is a real headline. I saw it from KHOU late last week. A Houston man is suing Whataburger for nearly $1 million. Sean, why would you think someone would perhaps sue Whataburger or a fast food joint? Coffee being spilt on
coffee,
your balls.
I'm not saying this for Whataburger, but for any fast food restaurant, if like the meat is tainted or something.
Tainted meat, that's true.
Yeah.
E. coli.
Yeah, tainted lettuce. Wasn't that a big thing where like iceberg lettuce was getting people sick?
Yes. Yeah, there's lots of reasons a fast food company might get sued. This guy, though, the absolute worst. This man is suing Whataburger for nearly $1 million because one of his hamburgers had onions in it. $1 million for onions. I know some people who don't like onions. $1 million?
$1 million is a lot.
I sent this to one of my best friends, hates onions. I sent this to him immediately because he's a lawyer. And I was like, nice job.
Yeah.
Nice job, dude.
Is he on this case? Can you say if he's on this case?
I mean, he didn't respond to it, so he might be.
I can't talk too much about this.
He could theoretically be, running this thing. This man has also sued Sonic for the exact same thing.
Oh.
A year ago.
Okay.
Yeah, this guy sucks.
No, this guy does suck.
I get suing for the sake of suing. Sometimes it's funny, but, to actually put it into court because they put onions in your burger, like, are you deathly allergic to it?
Whataburger should be like, you know what? We're putting cases on all y'all because I know all y'all have stolen the little 69 tin
thing. The little things that you get if you're waiting for an order to come and if you go after hours.
If you're sitting at a table and they give you the little stand-up thing and, 69, gonna take it. Or, it's whatever, my high school football number, I'm gonna steal it. Like, nope. Uno reverse. You, the state of Texas now, owes us money for all those little things that got stolen.
Yeah, I like that.
There's probably like millions of them that got stolen.
Millions, maybe too many. But yeah, I get what you're saying. I agree. I definitely agree with that. I would have taken the $60.
I was going to say, many people I knew in high school had those.
Forgot. Just found it in my pocket. Who hasn't been soft? Not soft? Did you see this? Did you hear about this? A pigeon got struck by a line drive during Reds batting practice on Monday. Get this, it's still alive.
Whoa.
Now, it's on life support, and I don't know what that means for a pigeon.
Okay.
And also, it's John Boy Media reporting it, so you always got to take everything they say with a grain of salt, a libelous entity that they are. Oh, we're a fan. But A pigeon is in critical condition after being struck by a line drive during Reds batting practice Monday. Doesn't seem like it's dead.
I have a couple questions.
I'm not going to be living a fun life going forward, though.
No. A, are we sure that this is the best use of pigeon life support? Is there another pigeon that might need this life support more?
I think so.
Two,
might have been natural selection here.
He's taking up a bed for another pigeon. Two, do we have video of this?
I need to see it. I have not seen the video.
Okay.
Yeah, I want to see if it got up and it's like wobbling around.
Gets back down on one knee.
Like, I hope that this, yeah. Would this pigeon have a Terry Schiavo situation going on? Like, what? I'm just asking the question. I don't know. Like, is it in a vegetative state for the rest of its life? Does it have family members that want to keep it alive? Does it have family members that want it to die because they might be getting some inheritance? I don't know. Just asking the question.
Is it like that soft-ass bird that got killed by Randy Johnson? Not
oh,
me.
Damn.
Not me.
Yeah, this pigeon, all right, natural selection can take getting hit by a baseball. But, you know, flew in front of a baseball that was hit off of a baseball bat. Not soft as well, Cam Scatabo, new Giants running back. You might remember him as the running back at Arizona State in the college football playoff. Baller, this guy. Cam Scatabo, every single day at Giants practice, greets Jackson Dart, new quarterback of the Giants, with a headbutt. Hell yeah, dude.
Wow.
Yeah, I like it. Also, Cam Scatabo does look a lot like Turtle from Entourage. I saw a picture of him and... Yeah, he looks exactly like Turtle. I think it's because of the height.
It's the
He's
height.
He's a running back.
Yeah.
The beard.
It's
the everything.
It's the everything. He looks like Turtle from
He looks like Turtle. But hey, he's a great player. Sean Mapes behind the glass. I'm Paul Gallant. It's the Paul Gallant Show, ESPN 97.5, 92.5. Soft Boys every single Wednesday at 12:30. Coming up next, an NFL team was trying to rob you of your God-given right. And guess what? They were stopped in their tracks. I'll tell you what we're talking about next. Stay put.
ESPN 97.5 is the Paul Gallant Show.
On ESPN 97.5 and 92.5.
From the Veritex Community Bank Studios, here's Paul Gallant.
The most interactive sports talk show in town. Listen, Houston might not be a city of defending league champions, but it is a city of defending division champions. Houston Rockets, Southwest Division champs. Houston Astros, American League West champs. Get the offense going, please. Off to a nice start today. And the Houston Texans, again, same as it ever was. Our AFC South champions, Texans Swarm. Got to get back to being ready for Texans Swarm, Sean. It's almost Texans season, okay?
It is almost Texans.
We're almost at minicamp, so I'll let that one slide. But Texans Swarm. There we go. All right, we're back. And guess what, guys? The Texans are going to stay swarming because the AFC South is an effing dumpster fire. It is a terrible division. I don't think it's changing anytime soon. Really, if the Texans blow it this year, it's on them. Do you think the Jaguars this year are going to be good? I'm skeptical. I do think that they're intriguing based off of what they've done this offseason. But yeah, I don't look at Trevor Lawrence as a threat. I think they need a better quarterback. I think the Titans are a joke. And I don't even remember the other
Indianapolis Colts.
Oh, yeah. Same. Daniel Jones versus Anthony Richardson. Can't wait for that. I mean, if Daniel Jones wins that competition too, I can't wait for the people that constantly baby Anthony Richardson online. Oh, he needs more time. He quit in the middle of a play against a division rival, by the way. Just quit. Oh, I ran too much. Yeah, I'm going to check out for third down. What? Are you serious? You serious?
Yeah. Josh Allen played through a concussion against the Texans.
I can't. This is going to be fun watching Indianapolis and the national discourse, Sean, about them next year because I bet Jones wins the job. He stinks. Everyone calls for Richardson. Richardson comes back in, then immediately gets taken back out, which has already happened a couple of times to this point. And people will get so mad about Richardson getting pulled for Jones because they don't think Jones is good, forgetting that Richardson doesn't really seem to give a crap. Anyway, I hope things change because the man is a Florida Gator. But the AFC South is a joke, and it's going to be the Texans going forward. But an evil team from up north who ruined a Sunday night for us this past season, they were trying to take this away from us. They were trying to take Houston Texans fans' God-given right of playing a home playoff game, wild card Saturday at 2:30, probably on ESPN, if not NBC. They were trying to take that away from you. They were trying to make that a road game. The Detroit Lions, who of course had that dramatic comeback against the Texans despite Jared Goff throwing 5 interceptions in a game. Goodness gracious. The Detroit Lions were going to try and get the NFL to reseed the NFL playoffs before the league meetings resumed today. They were going to try to do it, but they, at the very last second, withdrew their proposal, hashtag soft boys, to reseed those NFL playoffs. Come on, man. You got to win the division. You got to get a home game. I get that some people are like, well, we were in second place in the playoffs last year. That maybe the Lions are thinking because of how tough the NFC North was last year with the Minnesota Vikings, a serious threat to them to the very end of the year. They're like, what if we had had 15 wins and we didn't win the division? Well, tough bleep. It is what it is. I mean, maybe the greatest season in Titans history. Did you know this? This is AFC Central days, which the Texans were never a part of. But the Jaguars were 14-2, despite the Titans having beaten the Jaguars twice in the regular season. And then, in the playoffs, the Titans beat the Jaguars again. So the Jaguars had 3 losses all year, and they were all to the Tennessee Titans. The Titans weren't in first place in the division. You got to win your division. Even if, you know, that's where it starts, baby. You know who I learned that from? I learned that from a guy who might not be the greatest coach in Houston Texans history anymore. From a win-loss perspective, though, I mean, he was up there. DeMeco Ryans is off to a pretty damn good start. But remember Bill O'Brien and these famous words?
Doesn't matter, Brian. But AFC South champions 2 years in a row, Brian.
Yeah, but you guys are back in the...
Doesn't matter what it looked like. Back in the playoffs. Looking forward to the playoffs.
Exactly.
Go ahead. Sorry, didn't mean to interrupt.
Hell yeah, dude. That's right. Didn't mean to interrupt you, Detroit Lions, but walk it back, bitch.
Oh, we don't like it if you can make the playoffs and you have a better record than teams in other divisions.
Tough you-know-whaties. Okay? Roll back. Get back, get back. You don't know us like that. H-Town? City of Division. Champions. So watch it. I like that the Lions wussed out at the last second.
Yeah.
A lot of wussing out today, by the way. Tush push. Thought it was gone. Nope. Just when you thought we were out, it put us back in. Tush push sticking around. Love it. Entirely because Roger Goodell wanted it gone. And I wonder if some teams decided to vote for it to stay entirely despite Roger Goodell. You know what one of those teams that voted for it to stay? New England Patriots. No Bill Belichick anymore, but you think Robert Kraft would not try to stick it to Goodell in some way, shape, or form? Hell yeah. Love it.
Yeah, I just can't wait until next year where we have the off-season discussion of, Tush Push, going to get banned again?
Is this the third straight off-season, Sean?
It's at least the second.
It feels like it's been going on for too long at the very least.
Well, because it's the second time this off-season where they voted on it.
Yeah, that's right.
Because they voted on it one time, and I don't know if it was a hung jury or something.
Yeah.
They tabled it for now.
Right. But now, guess what?
Back.
It's back, baby. Should the Houston Texans run a Tush Push? 713-780-3776 to call to text. On YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975.
Bring back Jeff Driscoll.
Ooh,
Driscoll Cat Tush Push.
The Driscoll Cat.
Remember how big his thighs were?
The big old quads. Remember the other guy who had big quads? Who's that guy? A.J. Dillon.
Oh, yeah.
Mr. Quads himself.
Yeah.
I don't know. What's A.J. Dillon doing? I don't know.
He's still in the Packers.
He's still in the Packers? Is he somewhere else? I know. By the way, I imagine J.K. Dobbins has big quads. Apparently, the Texans have been sniffing around. Where is he?
Oh, my God. He's on the Eagles.
Of course he is. That is hilarious. So they just have all the guys with the biggest quads possible. Listen, guys, we can appreciate someone who has good quads. You got Jalen Hurts. You got A.J. Dillon.
6 foot, 250.
What is this, a rugby team? That's amazing. Oh, I love that. All right. Well, now you know. Now you know, guys.
Yeah. The Texans still on track to host
a playoff game on Saturday.
Yes, 2:30 playoff game simulcast on Nickelodeon.
And if they're good enough, maybe it'll be a 2:30 playoff game in the second round because they'll have the one seed. Oh. Who runs the South? We do. Who runs the Southwest? We do. Who runs the West? We do. Houston. Division champions. I don't know. I didn't think of anything at that moment in time. 713-780-3776 to call to text. On the HRP listener line for the 713. This is a pressing text. Paul, the city used to be sad. We didn't have nothing to look forward to but the Astros. But now there's light, and I see hope. People in Houston will no longer have to run to dope, but have hope and keep Houston sports alive. Actually, that was a good text. Are the Houston sports teams and their division championships turning people off of drugs? Is this the new dare?
Yeah. I mean, look at the crime rates when teams are winning divisions versus not. They're saving lives out there. Shout out to the Houston Astros, the last seven full seasons, 2020 out of their hands. And the Texans, each of the last 2 years, the Rockets this year, Ray Lewis was right. They're saving lives.
Saving lives.
Back in the day, Ray Lewis said
we're keeping people from killing other people.
The lockout should stop. Like the NFL can't miss games because crime rates go up in Baltimore.
Let me tell you about Baltimore. You think you know Baltimore? The Ravens, it's a bird. It represents a football team. And that football team represents a community. And when the community is watching the football team, the community has to focus on day-to-day things. I'm not going any further on that. I was charged for obstruction of justice once. But the community has to be watching the Ravens on Sundays to make sure that nothing bad's happening in Baltimore. And then I touched Jacoby Jones, rest in peace, on the chest, and he returned a touchdown, a kickoff for a touchdown in the Super Bowl. No weapon! No weapon!
Those are all just unintelligible things that Ray Lewis said over the course of their Super Bowl run.
Was there an episode of The Wire where they had a truce on a Sunday kickoff for the Ravens?
No, but there might have been a Sunday truce when Omar's mom got her hat shot off, which was not good. I think Ray Lewis would have spoken up about the violation of the Sunday truce in defense of Omar Little. I think he would have. That would have been awesome if Ray Lewis was in an episode of The Wire.
Probably a little too soon to the event.
You're probably right.
There's a reason Lamar Jackson can do whatever show he's on. I think he's on like some Stars show, like as a cameo character. He can do that. Right. Ray Lewis probably should.
From the 832, Paul, didn't New Orleans have a record low murders when they won the Super Bowl? That's the new topic of the show.
Sure.
Does sports success stop crime? 713-780-3776 to call to text on YouTube at ESPN Houston. On Twitch at ESPN 975. Also, does anyone want this? We were just given, he said in quotation marks, something that is going to give us an entirely new thing to watch in the near future from a sports perspective. But does anyone actually want it? I don't think they do. You'll find out what that is next. First, though, let me tell you about my friends at risehealth.com. RIIZEhealth.com. Listen. It's not fun when the fella downstairs ain't working. You know, it can complicate relationships. It can kill your self-confidence. It's awful if it happens to you, right? So if you're dealing with it or you want to spice things up a little bit, you got to go to risehealth.com. When you go to the website, you talk with a board-certified physician for 5 minutes. And once that happens, you're going to have access to something that could potentially get you back in the game. It's called the Rise Reds Max. It's a revolutionary rapid enhanced dissolving strip. put it under your tongue. It's in this condom-sized wrapper. It's better than a pill. You don't need to have a full stomach. You don't need to drink water. It's discreet. It combines sildenafil, tadalafil, and oxytocin for superior sexual performance. Boing! Yeah, that's right. That's going to be you. It works quickly. And on top of that, it could potentially change things for you. What's the point in being shamed? Go to the website. When you can take care of this so easily, so discreetly, why not give it a shot? So Rize Health, R-I-I-Z-E, health.com. You enter promo code 975. You'll get 20% off your first order. It's worth it, guys. Get back in the game. And you'll rise up, rise up. You'll rise up with RizeHealth.com.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn. And you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Host. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethost.com/terms.
What is dedication?
The thing that drives me every day as a dad is Dariano. We call him Day-Day for short. Every day, he's hungry for something, whether it's attention, affection, knowledge. And there's this huge responsibility in making sure that when he's no longer under my wing, that he's a good person. I want him to be able to sit back one day and go, we worked together. We did a good job.
That's dedication. Find out more at fatherhood.gov. Brought to you by the U.S. Department of Health and Human Services and the Ad Council.
Hi, I'm Richard Karn, and you may have seen me on TV talking about the world's number one expandable garden hose. Well, the brand new Pocket Hose Copperhead with Pocket Pivot is here, and it's a total game changer. Old-fashioned hoses get kinks and creases at the spigot, but the Copperhead's Pocket Pivot swivels 360 degrees for full water flow and freedom to water with ease all around your home. When you're all done, this rust-proof anti-burst hose shrinks back down to pocket size for effortless handling and tidy storage. Plus, your super light and ultra-durable pocket hose Copperhead is backed with a 10-year warranty. What could be better than that? I'll tell you what, an exciting radio-exclusive offer just for you. For a limited time, you can get a free pocket pivot and their 10-pattern sprayer with the purchase of any size Copperhead hose. Just text WATER to 64000. That's WATER to 64000 for your two free gifts with purchase. W-A-T-E-R to 64000.
By texting 64000, you agree to receive recurring automated marketing messages from Pocket Hosts. Message and data rates may apply. No purchase required. Terms apply. Available at pockethosts.com/terms.